Breaking news today on Seculo as Letitia James is filing to erase Trump in New York.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
At Monday deadline, it actually began at 12:01 a.m. Eastern Time, so early morning hours, when President Trump did not deliver what was close to almost $500 million. I think it was $454 million just to Letitia James, but when you put all the full totals together, it was getting closer to $500 million. So she is in the process right now of identifying the buildings she wants to take over immediately, Logan.
Yep.
Those buildings right now, she has listed them is, first off is in Westchester County, a Trump golf resort and private estate that's called Seven Springs, and that she's taken the first step in seizing that asset in New York. She's also looked at the famous Trump 40 Wall Street and Trump Tower next. Now that goes on to a second story, Logan, where Truth Social has, it appears, been purchased. Tell people about the Truth Social move.
Yeah, and Will can fill in sort of the gaps here. A lot of this happened when we were about to go on air, which is that Truth has essentially announced that they will be going public in a way. Now, in the way they go public, it evaluates the company at somewhere around $3 billion in essentially a sell. It's a very confusing kind of strategic move, but to really explain it, it's potentially millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, potentially even more, that could then go to President Trump.
Right. So, I mean, there could be ways where this is very temporary. These seizures could be temporary, and then he can make good on the bond. We will see what happens. But as of right now, Letitia James, I think by the end of the day, unless something changes between our broadcast and the end of the day, will have seized some Trump properties.
Yeah.
And by the way, she doesn't just have to seize them in New York. Any Trump property anywhere in the United States. So that would include Florida, Mar-a-Lago, the golf courses there, the Northern Virginia Trump National Los Angeles. I mean, of course, the New York ones are closer and probably worth a lot more money. Doral in Miami. I mean, there's major properties. There's the Trump Hotel in Vegas. You can keep going on and on.
Yeah.
But we know she's taken the first steps, Logan.
Yeah, and I think her quote was her saying, "I forced Trump into bankruptcy," and that is exactly what it seems like the intention.
Like it. I mean, he says he's got $500 million in the bank. He didn't want to spend that on this.
That's what she wants.
On the campaign.
Oh, yeah. Right. So there was a statement that came out on Truth Social as well from President Trump.
We want to get your thoughts on this, too. 1-800-684-3110, because this is the war on Trump. This is how, this is the heart of it. When they can start trying to take down people with millions of dollars of assets, hundreds of millions of dollars in their bank accounts, and try and bankrupt them off of a court case that hasn't even been appealed yet.
Yeah, well, let's go through. This is what he posted on Truth. I'll be honest, it's not the easiest thing to read because it is all caps, as he always does. Sure, have fun.
You're a good reader. Let me know when we get close to time. Through hard work, talent, and luck, I currently have almost $500 million in cash, a substantial amount of which I intended to use in my campaign for president. The often overturned political hack judge on the rigged and corrupt AG case, that's Erdogan, where I have done nothing wrong, knew this, wanted to take it away from me, and that's where and why he came up with the shocking number, which coupled with his crazy interest demands is approximately $454 million. I did nothing wrong except win an election in 2016 that I wasn't expected to win, did even better in 2020, and now lead by a lot in 2024. This is communism in America. So he's saying he's got the cash, didn't want to use it this way. We've got a Truth Social sale, which could bring in $300 million. I don't know how quickly he would receive that when it goes public like that, how quickly he could use it.
Yeah.
But how fast could he get the bolts taken off the door, if you will?
Yeah.
24 hours, 48 hours. But what we know is at some time today, I would think Letitia James is going to want to have a press conference putting the seizure. They want to have the seizure of the building.
Yep. Coming up next, we got Mike Pompeo also to discuss this and some other topics as well. We are wrapping up here. We are halfway through our Life and Liberty. We have a week left of our Life and Liberty Drive, and we are just shy. We are 250 people away from our 500 bonus goal. Do it right now. Become an ACLJ champion.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are joined by a member of the Seculo team and the ACLJ team, our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State and CIA Director, Secretary Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, I want to go right to you on this. President Trump has a Monday deadline. It's 12:01 a.m. I mean, when the clock strikes 12:01 from Sunday to 12:01 Monday, Letitia James could be out there and begin seizing assets. How do you think, if there's an asset seizure, and there's talk about Trump getting this money together maybe at the last minute, but if it doesn't all get in there by 12:01, and she's out there, you know, putting bolts on, whether it's Trump Tower, or she's also named some other places, Seven Springs Estate and Golf Resort in Westchester County, 40 Trump Wall Street. Do you think this is how we're going to see this play out over the next few days? Because the American people, I mean, we really haven't seen anything like this in our modern American political system, where the law enforcement officials are going to take away at the district court level before an appeal is made, these huge assets of such successful American business people because they happen to get into politics.
Well, Jordan, you know, this, I hope it's not the case. Your question, I guess, was, is that what's going to happen? I hope it's not the case, which I will tell you, she sure looks like that's the path that she is heading down. She will grandstand. But we should all take just a step back. I think it's important to remember how we got here. We saw political charges brought by a political actor, and now they're going to use the force and power, the armed might of the government, to take away property from someone who is still litigating a valid claim. This is, to your point, this is unheard of. I think the reaction from the American people will be precisely what we would think it is, which is how outrageous for government to do this. We all knew, Jordan, you and I talked about this a while back. This is how this proceeds, right? In the end, when you go pursue a political adversary and then go find a judge who will find for you, rule for you without a proper due process, right? This is how it happens. And this would be a tragic day for America to see armed government agents in the street seizing assets for a candidate for president of the United States of America.
I mean, it seems like this, Secretary Pompeo, and almost the question at this point feels a bit rhetorical, but does it feel like with James now starting to seize these assets that we're reaching the point, or we've hit that point of no return in terms of what future political, you know, motivated prosecutions are in this country?
You know, it feels that way. I refuse to believe that America is going to devolve to what we see happen in other countries to political actors, but it is going to take a concerted effort. It's going to take a concerted effort from political leaders, but most importantly from the folks who are watching and listening to your show today, to demand that this is not the model. It can't be the case that this is the course of action that we see taken. This isn't just about this particular instance or about President Trump. This is about government power being used in a way that is deeply antithetical to our republic. And I pray that it's the case that that James is that this is aberrant, that this won't become the new normal in the United States. It can't be the case. This is very dangerous stuff.
I want to go overseas to Israel because this was very interesting. The United States put forward a ceasefire resolution, which again, you would think that the world powers would be in support of at the UN. This involves, of course, Israel. And the United States ceasefire resolution was vetoed by Russia and China at the UN, at the Security Council. So how outrageous is it that the countries working hand-in-hand with Iran get to call the shots like that? And even when a ceasefire is put forward that they've been begging for, I guess since it came from the U.S. and the Biden team, they shot it down.
It is really something. First, it's something that the United States is demanding a ceasefire, asking the victim to stop responding to the aggression that took place. So that's pretty ridiculous in the first instance that the United States put forward this proposal. But then second, your point, which is this is not terribly dissimilar to what the Russians and the Chinese and others have put forward before. And yet, because it came from us, I think it's so telling, Jordan. I think it's so telling that because it came from us, they've decided they're going to oppose it. They're going to seek more. This is what happens when the United States appeases. When you appease, when you begin to move in the direction of your adversaries, they're going to not just take an inch or a foot. They're going to take a mile. And I think that's what the Chinese and the Russians are trying to do by vetoing this U.S. resolution.
All right. We do have a ton of calls coming in, Jordan. I think we should hold those probably for the next segment here. But I just want to say, if you're on hold right now, stay on hold.
Yep.
We are going to get to you. And then give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. But I know there's a lot of people who've been on hold for already some time. We're going to get to you. We obviously have Secretary Pompeo with us.
Let me ask you this. If and when, we know that Israel's goal is to destroy Hamas. They had some big victories. They've seized, I think it was hundreds of terrorists, top-level Hamas officials in the last couple of days who were hiding out in what their so-called hospitals. And they've been starting to put those forward and naming those high-level Hamas officials. So they've had some great success there. I wonder if it will be despite the support from the United States, because it's like it's questionable support that ultimately Israel is able to win this against Hamas, but it won't be in a joint effort really with the United States.
Pretty remarkable yesterday to hear former Ambassador Dermer, who's now an advisor to Prime Minister Netanyahu, talk about the fact that, hey, we're prepared to go this alone. The Israelis should never even have to contemplate going this alone when this is vindicating their own sovereignty. So, it could be the case that the Israelis will have to do this without much American help, and indeed in the face of American criticism. And I must say, too, I'm very worried about what's next. The Israelis will get it right in Gaza. They will, in the end, they will eviscerate the capacity of Hamas to threaten them. But we shouldn't forget, Jordan, there's still this problem in the north. Today you have 60 to 80,000 Israelis who can't move back to their homes. Hundreds of rockets have been fired out of Lebanon by Hezbollah. We don't talk about that as much because it's not in the news. But make no mistake about it, this conflict, the security of Israel still matters and has risk even after Hamas is gone, because in the end, the head of the snake is in Tehran. And the United States is the only nation that can support Israel in confronting the real challenge, which is to ensure that Tehran doesn't continue to inflict this kind of barbaric terror, only on Israel, but on the world.
I think this follows up on a final question to you, Secretary Pompeo. It's great to have you as part of our team. But, you know, we know the relationship between Netanyahu and Biden is publicly in shambles. So, I mean, what happens next there?
You know, President Biden began his time in office calling the crown prince in Saudi Arabia a pariah, and the Middle East policy has gone downhill since then. I hope that the two of them, whatever their personal challenges are between each other, I hope the two of them will come to understand what's in America's best interest and Israel's best interest, and that is for a tight, connected-at-the-hip relationship between the rightful Jewish homeland of Israel and the United States of America. President Biden needs to take that, to confront that, to get that right. I'm confident that Israeli leadership, including Prime Minister Netanyahu, are intent on doing that.
All right, Secretary Pompeo, as always, we appreciate you joining us. And folks, we're able to have members like Secretary Pompeo have now been on our team for years because of your financial support of the ACLJ, and a lot of you because of your ACLJ champions. You take part in these life and liberty moments, Logan.
Yeah, absolutely. We are approaching a week left. Ends at the end of the month. In just a week. The end of our life and liberty drive. And we are just so overwhelmed and so thankful for what you all have done so far. And we can't continue these fights without your support. There's a lot going on. We're preparing to file an amicus brief in the Fani Willis case, which you've heard about, disqualification appeal. The UN just released its opinion calling for Shahzad's immediate release. We'll talk about that coming up. We are working around the world. I'll just put it that way. We're working in the country and around the world to protect life and liberty. I want you to have your gifts doubled right now at ACLJ.org. If you're able, we also encourage you to become an ACLJ champion. And what that is, I'm sure you've heard it now. If you're a regular listener, regular subscriber, you've heard it, but you know, I'm going to say it again because it is the most important thing. You can be an ACLJ champion and help us fight for life and liberty every month. You essentially become a recurring donor. And what that has done for us has been just tremendous. We have passed 20,000. We are on our way to our stretch goal, which is to hit another 500. We are halfway there. We are only 250 away from hitting that goal. We got a week to do it. So we encourage you to do that right now. Become a champion. Fight alongside the ACLJ each and every month. Go to ACLJ.org. Have your tax deductible gifts doubled right now. Do you understand that? I just want to make sure it's clear. When you give $20, ACLJ champions have dedicated funds that then go to match that money. And other people involved in the ACLJ, other donors have said, I will be part of that match. So if you're watching right now, I encourage you to either scan the code the QR code you see on your screen, or just go directly, if you're listening, to aclj.org or aclj.org/life and liberty. All right, we've got just a quick break coming up here. We got a packed show coming up. We got Rick Grinnell joining us later on. And we're also going to talk about a lot of the breaking news, including what I mentioned before with the UN. We'll talk more about Letitia James and that, what's happening there. We'll talk some on Israel. And also some interesting news about the deep state as well. Because according, we'll tease this out for later. According to the New York Times, the deep state is actually, in quote, kind of awesome. We'll discuss that coming up. Also, if you're on hold, stay on hold. If not, we got three lines open right now. You can get on the air. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard on the air. We'll be back, Jordan, in just a second.
Yeah, that's right. Please become a champion and fight alongside us each and every month. Go to aclj.org. Have your tax deductible gift doubled right now. aclj.org. All right, folks, we're going to go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Mike Pompeo joined us. Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us in the second half hour of the broadcast. There's a lot to talk about. You've got a lot of phone calls, too, because Monday is going to be a very interesting day. Now, a lot of movement already happening today with True Social. Will President Trump somehow kind of put together this money at the last moment where Letitia James isn't going to be able to start locking up some of the the Trump buildings that she wants to start with in New York? We will not know really until 12:01, so midnight plus 1 minute on Monday morning when this can begin.
All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Chuck's calling in Iowa on line 4, watching on YouTube. Thank you to everyone who watches on YouTube. We ask you, if you're new, to hit that subscribe button. We do this show each and every day and tons of other great content. Chuck, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I got a question. If she seizes his property and say she sells it, does she have to sell it at market value or less? And then if he wins his appeal and they already sold his property, does he get that money back? And also, why don't they take it to the Supreme Court since it's in violation of the Eighth Amendment?
Okay, so I think, let me just answer one. Market value, yes, he could get, if he wins, he would get the money back. I don't know, the building would have already been sold, but the money back. And in the meantime, could you appeal this? He is going to, and he will appeal. I think he will use the Eighth Amendment as well as possibly even like interstate commerce, because this New York law is so different than other states. Think there's no injured party here, except New York didn't like what you gave to the loan company, who, by the way, would never, ever, I've said this how many times in the show, just take your piece of paper and say, I'm worth this, give me $500 million. They don't do that. They take yours, then they do their own assessment. And if it is pretty close, they say, okay, what they said was pretty close to what we believe, so here's the loan. If they think it's too far apart, they say, now we disagree with you on your assessment of what your property is worth. Not necessarily a crime, but it means we're not going to give you a loan. In New York, even if you get the loan, they can look at it and you pay it back. That initial document you gave over, if they believe you were lying, even if you got the loan and paid the loan back, which means you weren't really lying because you got the money that you said you were going to get and make off of it,
right,
that you've somehow harmed New York. So could this get to the U.S. Supreme Court? It would have to work its way all the way up through the New York court system. So it would be doing that now. And then ultimately, you can always appeal directly from the top court of a state to the U.S. Supreme Court when a constitutional issue comes up, like the Eighth Amendment or interstate commerce, cruel and unusual punishments, which financial penalties are included in that, and economic crimes. So penalties. So yes, I think you could see that, all three. The one thing you don't get is the buildings back necessarily.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have that question. There's that sort of looming sense of when all the banks said, well, we would happily do business and this has nothing to do with, like, that has just tainted this entire process so dramatically. Let's go ahead and take another call. Let's go to Robert, who's calling, similar comment, in Louisiana on line 3, also watching on YouTube, which we appreciate. Robert, you're on the air.
I actually forgot my question. do you have it written down?
Yeah, I'll ask your question for you, Robert, which was, can Letitia James take property that is held in a partnership or anything like that? Because people, I guess, are a little confused on, well, what's a Trump asset? Is a Trump asset a company or a Trump asset President Trump individually? What are the rules? And I feel like it's a bit of a gray area.
Those would become a lien on the property and they would sell his interest in it.
Okay.
So if he had like a third of a building,
they have to sell it.
they would sell at market value. New York would want to sell. They'd put a lien on it, and then that would sell at market value. So it would not affect the other participants, and it has to be at market value again. Now, again, New York property right now is lower than it's been in a long time. So this property in New York goes up and down. I mean, in waves of just, there's still, you know, some of the most expensive properties in the world there. But again, there's lots of different ways she could go about this. And I think when people are saying, well, does that save the building? It doesn't save it for Donald Trump.
Yeah, and hopefully
that's what you're asking.
That answers the question for you right there. I think some of it was just, is this fair even to the other people who have been in business deals with him?
We do have an update, too, out of the United Nations, Logan, our work for persecuted Christians. I know that people know about Shahzad Maziz, the Christian who has been on death row for blasphemy in Pakistan. And we, of course, have been working with the UN. We're through the ECLJ, where I was last week in Strasbourg, France, working with our team there, who is an NGO at the United Nations and very active at the Human Rights Council, but also very active with the United Nations Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, which we have been with these Christians who have been detained and been facing long-term sentences or even the death penalty around the world. And Shahzad Maziz's case has been taken up by the UN Working Group, and they've now issued, and I'm holding in my hands right now, a disposition. This is from the UN. It's why you don't ignore the UN. It's why you engage. It's tough. It's hard. It's not a place that's real loving of the work that we do. But once you're inside, you can get work done that is positive if you work really hard, which our teams do. So what did the working group find? They said that the deprivation of liberty of Shahzad Maziz, being in contravention of Articles 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and Articles 2, 9, 14, 19, and 26 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights is arbitrary and falls within Category 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. What does that mean? The working group considers that taking into account all the circumstances of the case, the appropriate remedy would be for Pakistan to release Mr. Maziz immediately and accord him an enforceable right to compensation and other reparations in accordance with international law, and then in accordance with paragraph 33 of its methods of work, the working group refers the present case to the Special Rapporteur on the Promotion and Protection of the Right to Freedom of Opinion and Expression, the Special Rapporteur on Minority Issues, the Special Rapporteur on Freedom of Religion or Belief, the Special Rapporteur on Extrajudicial Summary or Arbitrary Executions, and the Special Rapporteur on the Independence of Judges and Lawyers for appropriate action. The working group requests the government of Pakistan to disseminate the present opinion through all available means as widely as possible. So we have now got the UN fully engaged to get Maziz released.
I think people need to understand this, and we can slow it down just a little for them, is though the UN can be polarizing,
very,
this is a good thing.
Yes.
This is a very good thing.
This is the UN using all of its power through one of its entities, which is the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, which has hundreds of millions of dollars in resources and all those special rapporteurs. They want them all working together, all those special rapporteurs I named, to make sure this one individual in Pakistan who is facing death is not only released, but receives both compensation and reparations.
Yep.
And he also will need extreme security. You know what's toughest here, folks? It's not necessarily getting to this at the UN ultimately. It's not even necessarily the release. It's getting the judges to show up and do the right thing, because the judges are scared, because there's a history of them losing their life if they release individuals who happen to be Christians and charged with these bogus crimes.
We only got about 50 seconds left. Two things really quick. If you just are joining us on social media, 50 seconds this segment, we have another half hour coming up. And we are going to, a lot of people are just joining us right now and they see the comments about Letitia James, we'll reframe that coming up in the next segment so you have an idea of what's breaking news with that as she starts to seize properties. We'll discuss that coming up. But we are in the final week of our Life and Liberty Drive. We need your support right now. I'm going to ask you right now, we are 250 away from hitting our stretch goal, which is amazing. It's incredible. Our stretch goal of new champions, those people that support the ACLJ each and every month, become an ACLJ champion by making a recurring monthly gift. You help us fight every single day in the fight for life and liberty. We can't do that without you. Second half hour coming up. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Got a lot of great content. Back in 1 minute.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls. A lot of you have asked about, hey, what's going on with Letitia James, Truth Social, $300 million sale. Logan, I want you to walk through people real quickly with that, because everybody this weekend is going to be looking at 12:01 a.m. And 12:01 a.m. Monday, so just, you know, right after midnight, when the days cross over, is when Letitia James could begin to seize assets of President Trump and the Trump Organization. It looks like where she's filed initially is all in New York. She has not filed in other states yet. She can. She could file in Chicago, by the way, to take the building there. She could file in Nevada for Trump Vegas. She could file in Florida to go after Mar-a-Lago. But right, and maybe she will today. But so far, it's all been in New York. And that would put then places like, of course, Trump Tower, 40 Trump Wall Street. Yeah. And there was one other place she was looking at that was in Westchester County, which is a kind of like a country, a golf resort, private estate, Seven Springs, which is outside New York City, to seize those properties. But President Trump has kind of pushed back on two different fronts. One, with a Truth Social a message about how much money he's got available in cash. And second, about a Truth Social potential sale that may put more cash in his pocket.
Yeah, for kind of a brief understanding, this is coming from Truth Social. Technically, Truth Media, or Trump Media, I guess it's Truth Media, Trump Media would be merging with a company that would allow it to go public. And with that, his stake, which he could then go and sell, or sell a percentage of, moves his net worth up to over, I think, in just his stake alone. This is from the New York Times. So this is coming from the New York Times. I'll read you this. Former President Trump's social media company on Friday completed a long-awaited merger with a cash-rich company, raising Mr. Trump's wealth by billions, with a B, and potentially providing him a fresh source of cash to his, you know, mounting legal bills. That is from just that. That would be more than $300 million into Trump Media, and actually puts his stake, his personal stake in the company, will be worth over $3 billion on paper. So that alone could, you know, change everything if it can be done fast enough. But that should tell you something here when you're talking about the business structure of this guy, is the fact that all of a sudden his worth, not even his net worth, his paper worth, will go up by $3 billion with this deal.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, they really don't understand the different ways, because he owns, he's not all online, he's not all tech. These are actually, you know, fundamental buildings. Then you've got these companies that you could put up, then they go stock market. So I don't think this is over, Logan, until...
Because now the money, it could be the money is, he gives the money that he has. He says he has cash in hand, according to that Truth Social post. And then guess what? He can replenish that money immediately by selling a certain amount of stock in
or
Truth.
Or a little bit of both. You could do 50-50.
Yeah, you know, it's becomes a lot different of a story immediately. And I think that, sure, does this feel like big business stuff that billionaires deal with? Yeah. And frankly, this is how it works. And whether you like it or not, this is kind of how it works.
This is not how it's supposed to work.
No, but I'm saying is, it feels like a lot of billionaires figure out ways to maintain being billionaires.
Yeah.
Even under extreme scrutiny. Because you had people involved, you had business people involved also, who know what they're doing.
Yeah, they know what they're doing, and they know what their assets are worth, and their assets are still worth more than what she's claiming. Remember, this is a judge who said that Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 million.
Yep. $18 million. $500,000.
I mean, yeah. It's just insane.
Mar-a-Lago.
When I was on Newsmax, the co-host, Rob Finnerty, said to me, he's like, you know, you and I, if we loaned out every loan we could, I think we'd get, if Mar-a-Lago was really for sale for $18 million, they'd give it to almost anybody, because it's really, it'd be net value of like $200 million. I mean, it's just insanity in New York. I think he has a good chance on appeal. That doesn't mean he'll necessarily get all these buildings back, but he will get money back. And sometimes that's better than the buildings.
If that's the deal, just for the stake alone, he can have 166 Mar-a-Lagos. So yeah, if it was $18 million. So that's where we're at right now. Hey, we have so many calls. We're going to take you guys some of the next segment, but a lot in the last segment, so stay on hold. We got Rick Rennell joining us next. We are in that final week. 1 week left. Next week will be it. We're starting the final week today of our Life and Liberty Drive. You've heard me say it. I'm also going to ask you right now, not only go to ACLJ.org, become a champion, If you're new to this broadcast, you're new on YouTube, or you're new on Rumble, or wherever you're watching this, hit that subscribe button, hit that thumbs up button. It really, really helps.
All right, welcome back to Secchio. We are joined by our Senior Advisor for Foreign Policy and National Security, the former Acting Director of National Intelligence and Ambassador to Germany, Rick Grinnell. Rick, I want to go to Gaza and Israel first because I want to ask you about it. So the U.S. puts forward a ceasefire resolution, and you know it's been pushed on the U.S. to put forward this resolution at the Security Council, and even when they put forward a ceasefire resolution, it's not good enough. It gets vetoed by China and Russia because it doesn't go, I guess, far enough for them. So even when they go anti-Israel at the Security Council, they don't go anti-Israel enough for China and Russia.
Yeah, look, I spent, as you know, 8 years inside the UN Security Council watching the multilateral negotiation process, and it's tough. It is very tough to get five veto members of the Security Council to agree on anything, let alone the 15 members of the Security Council. It's even tougher. And then you move to the General Assembly where there's 193 members, and it's even tougher. So what happens at the UN is it becomes the lowest common denominator of what everybody agrees. Usually the resolutions are toothless, without any mechanism for enforcement, and it's becoming really almost useless other than a PR exercise. I'm not sure that bringing this to the UN Security Council is the right decision anyway. We've got a lot of power that we can use. And I think that the United States of America, the White House and the State Department need to be pressuring the Qataris and the Israelis to get the hostages returned, especially the American hostages. That should be our sole focus. No talk about rebuilding Gaza, no talk about ceasefires until we get the hostages returned. This is crazy.
Yeah, Rick, I also wanted to ask you about something you tweeted. And I think, can we show this while we're talking to Rick? Over 100 migrants breaking through razor wire at our southern border, knocking down the border guards as they illegally cross the El Paso border in a wild scene as we await whether the Fifth Circuit will allow Texas to try and protect its own borders or go along with an old Supreme Court precedent which says that the federal government has to deputize those state officials or they can't actually protect their own borders. SB 1070, it came out of the Supreme Court 2006, I believe. And you see this violence where, again, hundreds of migrants, you said people have got to see it. I mean, they just overrun. They overrun our border agents. Right there, Rick.
Look, I hope that everybody sees this. I hope everybody realizes that the current border policy is a disaster. This is Joe Biden's border policy. He's off trying to blame Republicans for not getting more money and more legislation. He just needs to stop this. Of course, the White House can act. Every time Joe Biden goes on television and says, I need Congress to do something, every single person at the border says, you do something. Stop blaming other people. You have the power. Stop pretending like you don't and use the power to close the border. But the reality is, Jordan, he doesn't want to. His base is so far left. They want an open border. And I'll remind people that an open border in Germany is the exact reason why the EU became less powerful. The UK said, we're out of here. And Brexit happened and the EU became smaller.
You know, I mean, this is all these issues. And Rick, I got to ask you about Letitia James and President Trump. I mean, we've got news stories today about President Trump's talking about he's got about $500 million in cash. He didn't want to use it on this and would rather have used it towards the campaign, but he's still thinking about using some of it on this fine while he appeals it before they start seizing assets. We know that they can start seizing assets at 12:01 a.m. So on, again, very early Monday morning, she can start seizing those assets if it hasn't been paid. You can still appeal and say that this was excessive, but if in the meantime they were to sell one of those assets, the best you could do is actually get the fair market value money back from the state of New York. If you ultimately win the case, you don't get the asset back if it's sold in that amount of time. There's also talk about Truth Social sales. I mean, to me, listen, I think her seizing a couple of these plays right into the hands of Donald Trump. I do think that they, you know, they would have been thinking, oh, he can't pay 500 million. He doesn't have 500 million. He's not really a billionaire. I mean, everybody that knows any billionaires knows they don't keep that kind of cash around. They keep their money invested. They keep it moving, growing, and expanding. But so they're kind of, I guess, trying to make him look like he's not the person he says to be. But I could see this totally backfiring if they go nuts on him.
It's already backfired. Let me just tell you, I'm not worried about the situation one bit. People are responding by giving Donald Trump money and support. They are leaving New York. Listen, breaking news right now. If you are a Republican doing business in New York, you better get out because they're coming after you. You think Donald Trump is the only person they're coming for? Are you kidding me? They are going to go after every single conservative and Republican. New York has hung a sign that says Democrats only in the business community. And this is a slippery slope. I hope no red state follows through and begins to do the same thing that Democrats are doing in blue states. That is a disaster. And what we need right now are for rational, independent, non-political people and conservative Democrats to speak up and say, this is nuts. This has to stop. This is going to ruin our country.
One last thing before we move on to some phone calls as well. We got a good opinion out of the working group on arbitrary detention in the UN. And I think, you know, we have a lot of conversations around here about the UN and why there's some bad in the UN. The General Assembly can become a pretty much a cesspool and useless. But it is also, for our audience, Rick, as someone who has worked there and been there, it is important for us to be there because there are moments. There are glimmers of hope that happen, but it is incredibly important to be there.
Well, it's so important to be there just to play defense. There are moments to play offense, but if we don't play defense, it could get really bad. ACLJ is there. I've worked with ACLJ when I was inside the UN and watched their work. And thank God that not only do we have a group of people in New York, but they're also in Europe, where a lot of this action is taking place. I know Jordan was just there. And so we really need to have a team on the ground to stop this global order, this movement at the UN to really take over every country with international type laws.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to talk to you about some of the work we've done at the UN, Rick, and again, why it's important for those supporters out there to donate to the ACLJ, because it's hard work that we do, but we've got the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, and we've got them now and all their special rapporteurs within that group on unlawful detention, minority issues, religious freedom or belief, extrajudicial and arbitrary executions, calling for Pakistan to immediately release our client, Mr. Masih, who is in prison and on death row, because it violates the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. But also, they are calling for him to get the right compensation and reparations. So you can get good actions, even on behalf of Christians in majority Muslim countries, in these UN working groups, if you fight hard. This could lead to Pakistan having to get the judges in, hold the trial. When we actually get a trial, Rick, we win, and the judges need to be kept safe. Masih needs to be kept safe as well. But ultimately, they get out of prison and off death row.
Look, one of the reasons I love being a part of ACLJ is we have lawyers who are experts on this international process, whether it's taking place at a UN or a UN agency. We understand the process. And a lot of times that's filing the right appeals, doing the right legal work, working through the right committee. It's not just going to the media and screaming. It's actually getting into the bowels of the international system and making sure that we play against them. And that's what I love about our team, is that we are experts. We know exactly what to do. And certainly my 8 years of experience at the UN and working inside the Security Council is a part of this team, and I'm really proud of it.
Thank you, Rick. Yes, thank you, Rick, for joining us today and each and every week. Really appreciate it. As we wrap up this segment, two things. Number one, we're going to take a lot of phone calls. Some of you have been to hold for close to a half an hour.
Segment, phone call segment.
Yeah, I appreciate all of you have been to hold. Some of you 25-plus minutes. Stay on hold. We will get to you. We have a couple lines open at 1-800-684-3110. Even if it's busy, keep trying. Here's the deal. 1 week left. Life and Liberty Drive. I don't have to tell you again, but I'm going to. we are halfway to our goal, our stretch goal. Because if you, our goal was to hit 20,000 new or 20,000 total ACLJ champions, that's monthly supporters. We were able to surpass that goal. And now we have a stretch goal. And we are halfway to the stretch goal. And we cannot believe the outpouring of love coming from all of you. And we appreciate it. If you haven't done it yet, to go to aclj.org and become a champion. If you do that, your tax-deductible gifts are doubled because we have people right now on the front lines who are willing to say, I will match the donations given for this month. And we are wrapping up the month. And look, Easter's coming next week. We know a lot of you are going to be distracted. A lot of you are going to have holidays. A lot of you have days off of work, days off school. So do it today if you can. Go to aclj.org. Become an ACLJ champion. Have your tax-deductible gifts doubled and become an ACLJ champion. Taking calls, 1-800-684-3110. Thanks to all of you who are watching right now. If you are one of the thousands of people who are currently watching on one of the subscribable platforms like YouTube or Rumble, I'm going to ask you to do that and hit the thumbs up. We're back in just a minute. We will be taking your calls coming up here. We did want to quickly jump into this topic because it's just something that spoke to us a little bit. There was a breaking news article that came out from the New York Times. I'm pulling up the headline right now, and it was something to the effect of the deep state. You know, something that we talk about quite a bit. A lot of people know what we're talking about when we're talking about it. The deep state is actually kind of awesome, and they put together a documentary. 6-minute documentary. We've cut it down so you can see some highlights from this. Tell me if this is the deep state you're thinking of when you hear the term deep state.
I will totally obliterate the deep state. I will fire.
Donald Trump is obsessed with the deep state.
The deep state, deep state, the deep state is destroying our nation.
Either the deep state destroys America, or we destroy the deep state.
And many Republicans are widening his paranoia.
These unelected bureaucrats ruining this country.
From a cabal of security agents to
the sick political class that hates our country.
If elected, Trump's vowed to gut the federal government.
Reinstate the Schedule F executive order and, quote, fire rogue bureaucrats.
But who are these bureaucrats and what makes them so dangerous? Meet Scott Bellamy.
I am a mission manager in the Planetary Missions Program Office.
He drives a Nissan Titan 4x4. He's loved Star Trek since he was a kid.
Of course I have a favorite character. It's either Captain Kirk or Mr. Spock.
And he may have quite literally saved the planet from annihilation.
Potentially.
Next, we travel deep into the swamp itself. Washington, D.C. This is Radhika Fox.
I am the Assistant Administrator for Water at the Environmental Protection Agency.
She loves Pilates, making salads, and watching the Taylor Swift Eras tour on TV with her family.
I think we're all pretty 1989.
Oh, and she led an operation to make our drinking water lead-free in 10 years.
That's the dream.
You want to replace your own water pipes? You got the skills to launch an asteroid-deflecting spacecraft? No. That's why your tax dollars pay experts like Radhika and Scott. Important work like this is happening all over America. Meet Nancy Alcantara.
I am the Acting Director of Enforcement for the Wage and Hour Division for the Midwest Regional Office for the U.S. Department of Labor. I had to take a breath, yes.
She still eats Lucky Charms for breakfast, trains for marathons, and loves Latin dancing. These guys work for you, but Trump wants them working for him.
Sometimes it's really hard to read the newspaper where, you know, you feel like we as public servants are being attacked.
This doesn't mean that Americans can't have different ideas about how big the federal government should be. After all, there's no shortage of examples of real government overreach and overspend. But Trump's teaching us to expect the worst from people in government, when the truth is, they're actually some of our best.
Yes, that is what we all consider the deep state. We're talking about the Taylor Swift loving person who's trying to fix the water supply, or the NASA person who is sending a rocket to deflect an asteroid. That is what we're talking about here. Yep. I don't believe anyone who's ever heard the term deep state thinks we're talking about all government employees that you don't know the name of. No. And that is what they infer.
We're talking about intelligence people and law enforcement officials who act without the authority of the executive branch. They are acting on their own. They believe they can act with impunity because they are protected by the bureaucracy. We have 18 active lawsuits against these deep state actors.
The real deep state.
At the, yeah, the real deep state. Like
not the
actors
Taylor Swift
at
woman.
The Department of Homeland Security, CBP and ICE, at the State Department, at DHS, at DOD, and at CITCOM, and OD&I, where Rick used to be, on Afghanistan. I mean, at the IRS, the State Department, again, over and over, 18 of these, Logan, these FBI ones, I mean, you can list through those, and Department of State. These are the bureaucrats who believe, even when the political actors come in, and you elect the politicians, that they are actually in charge, and they operate outside of the orders given by the President of the United States, especially when it's a Republican president.
Here's what I will say. I believe everyone who is listening to this, likely, already knows that.
Yeah.
Understands that.
Sure.
It's these moving words around in terms to mean something they're not. No one rationally thinks that when Donald Trump says, I'm going to gut the deep state, that means I would like there to be lead in the water and I'd like an asteroid that could kill humanity to hit the earth because I don't want government employees. That is insane. A well-done documentary piece, I will say, to that team. Visually beautiful. Sounded great. Great story. I like the Lucky Charms. I like the Taylor Swift. It all felt very real, personal. And you know what? Those three people, maybe pretty good people, because it looks like they're doing work that is commendable. And there is good work happening in the government. You better hope there is. If not, you are funding legitimately millions of people, all of which are doing horrible things. No, we're talking about people who are politically motivated in their decision-making that really affects the American people in a way that can be negative and polarizing. No one thinks, great, we should have lead in the water. Now, you may find out that that building cost 20 times that it should have cost, or something like that. There may have been government overreach that happens, where, you know, you gotta make it with the perfect materials or something like that. But that doesn't mean anything, and I think we're just talking if we think that's true. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Sure. We gotta get these quickly. I am so sorry you've all waited on hold for so long.
We're in New Mexico, line 6, you're on the air.
Hey. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking my call and all that you do for America with all your endeavors.
Thank you.
So if I was Trump, I would call up my good buddy Elon Musk and ask him to buy Truth Social.
Well, there's a move at Truth Social we've talked about before. I don't know if it involves Elon Musk at all, but there is a move at Truth Social, Logan, and we've explained that today. I want to get some more calls. But Brenda, that is a move that President Trump is making to take it public, which could include how much money to him?
$3 billion.
$3 billion.
Personal.
So you could easily write that $454 million.
Easily just cash out a little bit, a third of it, and pay times two. So, you know, Pay it and replenish it.
Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Alice in Georgia, online 5. Hey, Alice.
Hi there. Hi there.
Hi.
I just wanted to thank you, number one, for all that you do. I try to listen to you every chance I get. This thing that's happening with President Trump, the government is also looking at Apple right now, and if it can happen to these huge companies, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah, I think that is, Alice, the general thought process. That's hopefully what our listeners understand, which is if it can happen to a president of the United States, that means it can happen to anyone.
Can happen to you.
Let's quickly try to get to Patty in Florida, who's also been
final
on hold.
Final call of the day.
Patty, you're up.
Hi. My question is, since... they said, the whole reason that they said Trump committed fraud was saying that Mar-a-Lago was worth more than it is. Can he appeal because one person said that it was worth $18 million? Can you appeal?
All of this, Patty. The question is he going to appeal it while seizures are taking place, which he could have done? He can do if he can post this bond, and then if he wins, he would get the bond back. Or he could appeal it after having to pay this bond or having the building seized. But yes, he can appeal that plus the fine. So you can appeal both the findings of how much the properties were worth, and you can appeal the excessive fine, and that will both be done. The question will be is, are buildings going to be seized, or will he get enough money together to get a bond out from a bond company or multiple bond companies, actually?
That's right. Hey, we are in the final week of our Life and Liberty Drive. Yeah, first, I want to thank all of you who are watching right now and all of you who are listening around the world. We really appreciate it. Know that. I mean that. But we have 30 seconds left, and I'm going to tell you in that 30 seconds, it is time to support our work. Go to ACLJ.org. We are 250 people away. That's it. From our stretch goal. We can't believe that, but it's true. We got a week to hit it. Become an ACLJ champion right now. All you have to do is go to ACLJ.org/champions or ACLJ.org/life and liberty. Whatever you want to do, go to ACLJ.org. Click that button to become a champion. Or if you can't, if you need to make an individual donation, of course, we appreciate that equally as much, and we really do appreciate it. But for those champions, do it right now. ACLJ.org/life and liberty, or scan the code on your screen. Talk to you on Monday.